It's just been announced that Baroness Thatcher has died this morning.
Okay, well, I don't want to be saying anything too hard about someone who has just died. But Margaret Thatcher, in her terms as British Prime Minister, did great hurt to people in Britain, to working class communities across Britain, but also to people here in Ireland. And I suppose most Republicans and Nationalists will remember, and maybe many others, her for the shameful role she played during the epic hunger strikes in 1980 and 1981, and how she pursued a draconian policy of militarism, embraced collusion, authorised the killing of citizens, both in overt and covert operations. And even though, in marked contradiction to her public posturing, she opened up a back channel of communication with Sinn Féin, she failed to act on the logic of that. So her Irish policy, and there are other aspects of her policy in terms of the Malvinas, in terms of support for Pinochet, in support of apartheid South Africa or the Khmer Rouge. But our Irish policy was a total and absolute failure.
That Margaret Thatcher died.
People who was born in a very fortunate time when I, you know, my parents' generation and my grandparents' generation fought very hard for a welfare state in my country in which the rights of the individual were underpinned by the collective provision of free healthcare, free education, decent, affordable housing, proper pensions. And that was, you know, that's what we refer to as in my country as the post-war consensus. Parties came and went, Labour, Conservative, Liberal. Nobody ever changed that until Margaret Thatcher came along. And she decided that it would be better to have to pay less taxes. So she began to take apart the welfare state and that provision, and the government owned the coal mines. And although there was plenty of coal under our country, she began to close them down. So they went on strike, and really the strike became a defence of that welfare state, of those ideals of collective responsibility and collective provision. And as a singer-songwriter who'd grown up listening to Bob Dylan and Woody Guthrie and the Clash, it seemed to me that my place was to be, you know, there on the picket line playing songs. And it was interesting because it was a bit of an education for me, because I didn't go to college, so I didn't know a huge amount about socialism. So it was a very steep learning curve. They wanted to know why this pop singer from London had come up to the coalfields, sitting up late at night on sofas with people, drinking cups of tea, smoking cigarettes, talking about politics. And so, yeah, I can tell you that the great inspiration in my politics was Margaret Thatcher. Were it not for her, I probably wouldn't be a socialist.
I want my children to think that our generation paid off its debts, valued its savers, rewarded responsibility, and invested in their future. And because I want it for my children, I want it for your children too. I want it for everyone's children. Because we are all in this together.
He's a liar, liar.
Achieving some great things already in this government. I hope each and every one of you is as proud as I am of what we've already achieved. We are finally putting liberal values at the heart of British government. Government. Government.
He's a liar, liar.
Deficit in a way that hurts those we most need to help, in a way that divides our country, or in a way that undermines the spirit and the ethos of our vital public services.
This government is pursuing the only policy which gives any hope of bringing our people back to real and lasting employment.
This government,
this government,
this government,
this government,
this government,
this government,
this government, this government,
this government, this government. It's a liar, liar.
Belfast, there lived a boy named Terry.
Do you want to come back to my mum and dad's?
No. Do you want to go back to my mum and dad's?
No.
I want to open a record shop.
We had every kind of beautiful record on our shelves.
Put that record out.
You're pissed.
So what? You're making a record.
Will you record us too?
I'm not that pissed.
If we don't get a record soon, it'll be too late.
What'd you say your name was?
Fergal. Fergal Sharkin.
What's the best thing I ever recorded?
Everybody has to hear them. Everybody.
Do they have any good-looking friends?
What is wrong with you people?
It was all gonna be absolutely fine. Trust me.
You gave me the best 2 minutes of my life.
John Peel.
It's so good, I'm gonna do something I've never done before.
We cracked the code, we did it without them. Is it a kind of monster?
Money couldn't buy, but we've just done.
Good Vibrations isn't a record shop. It's not a label. It's a way of life.
diving for pearls. We could be diving for pearls. When we could be diving for pearls.
Linda Jackson.
Speaker, it's hardly a surprise that Baroness Thatcher was careless over soup being poured over Lord Howe when she was apparently perfectly prepared to send him out to the wicket with a broken bat. Yeah. Mr. Speaker, when I made my maiden speech all in this chamber a little over two decades ago, Margaret Thatcher had been elevated to the other place. But Thatcherism was still reeking, as it had reeked for the previous decade, the most heinous social, economic and spiritual damage upon this country, upon my constituency and my constituents. Our local hospitals were running on empty. Patients were staying on trolleys in corridors. I tremble to think what the death rate for pensioners would have been this winter if that version of Thatcherism had been fully up and running this year. Our schools, parents, teachers, governors, even pupils seem to spend an inordinate amount of time fundraising in order to be able to provide basic materials such as paper and pencils. The plaster on our classroom walls were kept in place by pupils' artwork and miles of sellotape. Our school libraries were dominated by empty shelves, very few books, and those books that were there, again, were being held together by ubiquitous sellotape and offcuts from teachers' wallpaper used to bind those volumes so that they could at least hang together. But by far the most dramatic and heinous demonstration of Thatcherism was certainly not only in London, but across the whole country in metropolitan areas, where every single shop doorway, every single night, became the bedroom, the living room, the bathroom for the homeless. They grew in their thousands. And many of those homeless people had been thrown out onto the streets from the closure of the long-term mental hospitals. We were told it was going to be called, it was called, care in the community. What in effect it was no care at all in the community. I was interested to hear about Baroness Thatcher's willingness to invite those who had nowhere to go for Christmas. It's a pity she didn't start building more and more social houses after she entered into the right to buy. So perhaps there would have been fewer homeless people than there were. As a friend of mine said, during her era, London became a city Hogarth would have recognised, and indeed he would. But the basis to Thatcherism, and this is where I come to the spiritual part of what I regard as the desperate, desperately wrong track that that Thatcherism took this country into, is that we were told that everything I had been taught to regard as a vice, and I still regard them as vices, under Thatcherism was in fact a virtue. Greed, selfishness, no care for the weaker, sharp elbows, sharp knees, they were the way forward. We've heard much over and will continue to hear over the next week of the barriers that were broken down by Thatcherism, the establishment that was destroyed.
We can't take it.
What we actually saw, the word that has been circling around with stars around it, is that she created an aspirational society. It aspired for things. As indeed one of the former prime ministers, who himself had been elevated to the House of Lords, spoke about selling off the family silver. and people knowing under those years the price of everything and the value of nothing. What concerns me is that I am beginning to see possibly the re-emergence of that total traducing of what I regard as being the basis spiritual nature of this country, where we do care about society, where we do believe in communities, where we do not leave people to walk by on the other side. That isn't happening now. And if we go back to the heyday of that era, I think we will see replicated yet again the extraordinary human damage that we as a nation have suffered from, the talent that has been totally wasted because of the inability to genuinely see the individual value of every single human being. My honourable friend from Hackney referred to the fact that although she had differed with Lady Thatcher in her policies, she felt duty-bound to come to pay tribute to the first woman Prime Minister this country had produced. I am a generation who was raised by women. The men had all gone to war to defend our freedoms. They didn't just run a government, they ran a country. And the women that I knew who raised me and millions of people like me, who ran our factories and our businesses, put out the fires when the bombs dropped, they would not have recognised their definition of womanliness as being incorporated an iconic model of Margaret Thatcher to pay tribute to the first Prime Minister deputed by female gender. Okay, but a woman, not on my terms.
I was a miner, I was a docker, I was a railwayman between the wars. I raised a family in time of austerity with sweat at the foundry between the wars. I played the union, and as times got harder, I looked to the government to help the working man. But they brought prosperity down at the armory. We're arming for peace, me boys, between the wars. I kept the faith and I kept voting, not for the iron fist but for the helping hand. For theirs is a land with a wall around it, and mine is a faith in my fellow man. Theirs is a land of hope and glory, mine is the green field and the factory floor. Theirs are the skies all dark with bombers, and mine is the peace we knew between the wars. Call up the craftsman, bring me the draftsman, build me a path from cradle to grave, and I'll give my consent to any government that does not deny a man a living wage. Go find the young men, never to fight again. Bring up the banners from the days gone by. Sweet moderation, heart of this nation, desert us not, we are between the wars.
I'd like to say, uneconomic my arse. Mrs. Thatcher, where you're going in a few years' time, you won't have to worry about coal, because it'll be bloody roasting where you're going. And I hope the miners have a bloody day out when it happens, because I'll be with them having a pint. I don't think that'll make final cut.
I remember crying.
The
things that Thatcher did. I remember going on marches with my parents.
And how old are you?
I'm now.
Yeah, when you marched with your parents?
I was 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old.
I know, yes.
And I remember my parents crying. I remember members of my family committing suicide because of they were destitute after Thatcher's policies. I remember people feeling that they had a way out by buying their council homes and then finding that their council homes had no worth, what didn't mean anything. I remember the Falklands War, and I remember feeling as a child disgusted because I knew that it was a war that was built around economics, not about the lies she was telling people. At a very young age, I was aware that she was telling lies and that she was trying to create a division between people with money and with people that didn't have any money, and nothing's changed. For me, she symbolises a very dark beginning to a very dark era in British and worldwide politics.
What you think about British and now the present David Cameron?
There's not much change.
Yes.
They're the same thing. They're exactly the same as Thatcher. They continue her policies. Labour also. Blair was the epitome of Thatcher's ideals. Gordon Brown just extended Thatcher's ideas about economics and about how to create a society that was easy to control economically. And Blair engaged in this idea with Brown, as far as I'm concerned, and they shook hands and had their deal before Blair was even elected.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Remember during the Dutch year?
I fought her from the moment she came into power. I fought her over the steel crisis. I fought her over the miners. I fought her in the Falklands Wars. I fought her all the time. I was on every demonstration. I was on everything that countered that horrible witch, right? You know, we are in an economic crisis for making that she made for us. She deindustrialised Britain and she created the financial markets, and she's responsible for all that we've gone through. Where are you from?
I'm from Malaysia, but I live here.
All right, yeah. So that's... I'm a veteran.
Okay.
Of fighting Thatcher.
Okay.
You know?
How about your personality? What did it affect you?
Thatcher!
How did it affect me?
Yeah.
How
she affect you? Yes, because you are a soldier yourself at the time.
She affected me in the sense that I live in a world now which is so divided between the rich and the poor, you know, and it breaks my heart to see the poor getting poorer and the rich getting richer, and this is her legacy, and it breaks my heart. How's it affect me? Horrible world, and we're living through her legacy right now across the world, you know. Spain, Greece, Cyprus, Italy, you know, you name it. Everybody.
You are very interesting to ask again. Because you served the army, in other words, you served the country.
No, I wasn't in the army.
Oh, you said you were in the football.
No. I was demonstrating against Thatcher.
Oh, demonstrating,
Thatcher.
Yeah.
I was fighting Thatcher.
All right, yes.
All those years.
Okay, thank you very much.
During
the Thatcher, yes, sorry.
Basically, she hated anybody that organised anything that was good.
Yes.
She read one very bad book by Hayek about economics. And she seemed to run the country as though with the idea that you could have infinite growth in a finite environment, which you can't. It's as simple as that.
Why you think her idea is wrong to the ordinary people?
Because you can't keep growing when you've only got a limited space to grow in. If you do, you destroy everything in the process. And that will mean that everybody suffers in the long term. Simple.
Thank you. You tell me what you remember during Thatcher years.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
Lots of protests.
Okay. And?
Lots of cuts, unemployment, same as now. Nothing's changed.
Nothing changed. So what you think Thatcher and David Cameron, what's the difference?
Nothing. Cameron is worse.
Cameron worse than Thatcher?
Yeah.
You think so?
Much worse.
Okay. Tell me, what's the bad point of Thatcher? I like to know something. Yeah.
The bad point. Mm. Look, my pint of milk.
Yes.
She took the milk away from the kids when they were 7.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, you remember that. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And now the future, David Cameron.
There will be no milk.
There will be no milk. And no school.
Not for anybody. No school.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, she was vicious. It was a nasty decade. She was a vicious woman.
In what way she is a nasty, vicious woman?
I mean, like, the rich got richer, the poor got poorer. She perverted Christianity. She claimed to be a Christian. When she first came into office, she quoted St. Francis of Assisi, and, you know. And, I mean, I know it's not nice to celebrate someone's death, but she was a nasty, nasty woman.
She says she's 54.
with radioactive radio. Whatever happened to childhood? We're all scared of the kids in our neighborhood. They're not small, charming and harmless. They're a violent bunch of bastard little shits. Anyone who looks younger than me makes me check for my wallet and my phone and my keys. And I'm tired of being tired out, always being on the lookout for thieving kids. We're all wondering how we ended up so scared. We spent 10 long years teaching our kids not to care, and that there's no such thing as society anyway. And all the rich folks act surprised when all sense of community dies. And you just close your eyes to the other side of all the things that she did. Thatcher fucked the kids, and it seems a little bit rich to me, the way the rich only ever talk of charity. In times like the 70s, a broken down economy meant even the upper tier was needing some help. But as soon as things look brighter, yeah, the grin gets wider and the grip gets tighter. And for every teenage tracksuit mugger, there's a guy in a suit who wouldn't lift a finger for anybody else. We're all wondering how we ended up so scared. We spent 10 long years teaching our kids not to care, and that there's no such thing as society anyway. Folks act surprised when all sense of community dies, but you just close your eyes to the other side of all the things that she did. Thatcher fucked the kids. You've got a generation raised on the welfare state, enjoyed all its benefits and did just great. But as soon as they were settled as the richest of the rich, kicked away the lad and told the rest of us that life's a bitch. And it's no surprise that all the fuck-ups didn't show up until the kids had grown up. But when no one ever smiles or ever helps a stranger, is it any fucking wonder our society's in danger of collapse? So all the kids are bastards, but don't blame them, yeah, they learn by example. Blame the folks who sold the future for the highest bid. That's right, Thatcher fucked the kids.
From the Durham Miners, Margaret Thatcher, an obituary. Right. Margaret Thatcher died in the Ritz Hotel on the morning of Monday the 8th, April 2013. She first came to attention in 1970 when, as Minister of Education in the Heath government, she ended the supply of free school milk to school children over the age of 7. She never understood why this caused so much resentment and why it earned her the title Thatcher the Milk Snatcher. It was this detachment and lack of empathy with ordinary people that was to define her political career. Although highly educated, she had a simplistic philosophy. For Thatcher, the historic problems of British industry were caused not by lack of investment and innovation, but by trade unions, and strikes were caused not by grievances, but by evil leaders. To rectify this, she introduced the most repressive anti-union legislation in Europe, which some claim was her greatest achievement, but those who have seen their wages outstripped by inflation year on year do not view it this way. Her Economics of the Housewife led her to the conclusion that Britain would be better off without manufacturing industry, and that banking and financial services should be liberated from state interference and regulation. This policy spectacularly burst into flames 5 years ago, when the state had to interfere by bailing out almost the entire banking system. Those who inherited her ideology are now using the full force of the state to make the people of Britain pay for the orgy of greed that she encouraged so enthusiastically. Many who loyally bought into her dream invested their hard-earned cash in pension funds, and many have been duly informed that the promise of a comfortable retirement is not going to be honoured. For some, their pensions are next to worthless or have been stolen by fraudsters. These same pensioners are now at the mercy of the service industries she privatised with their price hikes and mis-selling scams. They have a right to be incensed, but this time they can't blame the trade unions. In the communities where once men and women worked in useful occupations manufacturing useful commodities, we now have industrial deserts where hope for the young is dashed by the spectre of permanent unemployment. For the fortunate, there is the low-paid servitude of the call centres, or the short-time uncertainties of the service sector. In her long term of office, she supported the apartheid regime of South Africa and dubbed Nelson Mandela a terrorist. She was a bosom friend of Chilean fascist dictator Pinochet, who overthrew a democratically elected government and slaughtered thousands of Chilean workers, including its elected president. She sunk the Belgrano when it posed no threat and sent hundreds of young Argentinian cadets to their deaths. But it is, of course, the destruction of our mining industry and the damage to our villages and towns that exercise our anger most. It is often repeated in the media that in 1948, Arthur Scargill pulled a strike. It is a lie. He did not. The truth is that Margaret Thatcher deliberately provoked a strike. After the appointment of Ian McGregor to the chairmanship of the National Coal Board on the 28th of March 1983, which was a provocation in itself, Pitts closed piecemeal throughout 1983, but this was not good enough for Thatcher. Her political agenda required the destruction and humiliation of the National Union of Mine Workers, and to do so she was prepared to destroy the industry. The announcement of a massive closure program in February 1984 caused a strike in Cortonwood Colliery in Yorkshire, a colliery led by moderate miners not noted for their support of Scargill. And from Cortonwood, the strike spread spontaneously. There is irrefutable evidence that the Tories had been preparing this confrontation prior to 1979, when they were still in opposition. Central to these preparations was the organisation of a mobile and nationally controlled police force capable of rapid deployments to the coalfields. From the first day of the strike, miners were denied their legal right to travel freely. They were regularly falsely arrested, beaten and framed. It was the systematic, gratuitous state organised violence which turned many moderate local miner leaders into militants. It steeled our communities, bound them together and made them more determined than ever not to allow state violence to win. After a full year, the miners were defeated, but Thatcher did not have long to savour her victory as Prime Minister. Her pig-headed imposition of the poll tax moved a people weary of the politics of greed to revolt. She became an embarrassment to her party and they brutally cast her aside. When we say we celebrate her death, we are reflecting the deep and lasting bitterness of our mining communities and felt across the entire working class at the ravages of her brutal policies which destroyed the lives and prospects of so many people. Even today, we see the legacy of her policies and the continued vandalism of the Tory Lib Dem coalition, this time aimed at dismantling the welfare state. Thatcher infamously said there is no such thing as society. She was the person who wrecked it.
Happen. dig around the corner with no one's spare time. I'm the child that never learns to read, cause no one's really time. Inspector, discovery.